Bueno.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to DestoProv.com, Anything Cast Live, here on All Games Radio. I'm your host, the Dead Man, and joined today we have Ninja Kitty.
Hello.
Yeah, Bobby-Wan will be coming along at some point. He's just off doing laundry stuff.
He's folding my laundry.
Okay.
Isn't he a nice guy?
Yeah, so anywho. Before we get into the actual show, the VGA things, you know, Spike's annual show thing that makes people think that they're actually kind of relevant. Well, actually makes them think they're less relevant because it's all, God, just so horrible.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's... So every year Spike puts on these big video game awards thing to, like honor and celebrate people and their achievements in video games. And yet, a good chunk of the show is just pop culture icons coming up and saying stuff. Like, last year they had Zachary Levi, who was the guy from Chuck, hosting. And, you know, he wasn't bad, but isn't really that gamey kind of person. They had the Black Keys go on and perform. They had the cast of Jersey Shore and Mike Tyson show up on stage for some reason. You know, just out of fucking nowhere. It's like, and now the cast of Jersey Shore and Mike Tyson.
What's Jersey Shore? It sounds stupid.
It's a horrible, horrible show that I believe is either dead or dying.
Okay, so irrelevant?
At least I hope it is.
But anyway. No, I just realized that the Speed Stick brand of deodorant is made by Colgate and Palmolive in Canada.
Okay.
I'm sorry, so anyway. I was looking at this new thickened deodorant, that's what it said.
Guess what, with the VGAs, they're usually really horrible. And like this year they had Samuel L. Jackson hosting. Because, you know, video games.
And Samuel, hasn't he done some voice acting for games though?
I have no idea. He might have been in Afro Samurai. I'm pretty sure he was.
I remember something about that. Yeah. Wow. I knew something. Holy crap.
Yeah, and that was a kind of subpar game that didn't get a lot of appeal and came out years ago. So, really relevant. Years.
Completely.
Yeah. Anywho. So yeah, VGAs happened last night. I mean, on Friday, and I figured I'd as well just go over some of the things that won. So I'm just going to be going over, like, platform specific. So we're just going to be looking at best handheld or mobile game, best PC, Wii or Wii U, PS3, 360, then Studio of the Year and Game of the Year.
And then I may ask who got, like, such and such, because I don't know anything about any of that. I watched, like, 5 minutes of it when Bobby-Wan was watching a clip of it. So I may have a couple questions about who got this?
Yeah, so Tactical actually did bring it up. It was like, so yeah, the VGAs, what did you guys think of the winners? Did you agree with the game of the year or disagree? We're going to be getting to that. Like I said, I didn't actually watch it because I was too busy, I don't know, being depressed.
Who was game of the year? Halo 4?
We'll get to that. So, starting off, I guess, with the handheld.
It was either Borderlands or Halo.
Okay, so best handheld or mobile game. So we have Sound Shapes, Gravity Rush, Little Big Planet, Vita, and New Super Mario Bros. 2. What'd you think won?
Little Big Planet!
No, actually, Sound Shapes. I have no idea where the fuck that came from.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So then, best PC game. So we have XCOM Enemy Unknown, Diablo 3, Guild Wars 2, and Torchlight 2.
Oh, Diablo 3.
Actually, XCOM, Enemy Unknown.
No freaking way!
Yeah, I know, like, that is... You
who
never really
that?
Expected
who
to hear
did
that.
This?
Like, what, XCOM?
Who did these freaking, like, awards? What the hell?
They are based on... They are based on, like, users, like, they put all the things up that people just vote for them.
Diablo 3 should have won, though.
XCOM has a huge following, and they have like the new thing coming out, like the new XCOM, which is just a first-person shooter. This one is actually like proper ass XCOM. Yeah. So anyway, Now, the best Wii or Wii U game. We have New Super Mario Bros. U, The Last Story, X Xenoblade Chronicles, and Zombie U.
Wait, what were they?
New Super Mario Bros. U, The Last Story, Xenoblade Chronicles, and Zombie U.
I go for zombies.
Zombies are pretty popular, but the new Super Mario Brothers is,
swear, if it's a super, new Super Mario Brothers, I'm going to be sad.
And Bobby-Wan wins. It's new Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, pfft.
Because it's Mario. Of course he's going to win.
I know, but they win everything, no matter how good or bad the game is.
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't like that, because it's simply due to people actually knowing what the fuck it is. I don't like that.
Yeah, but... like, Zombie U, it... I'm pretty sure, like, Zombie U was, it was actually has gotten a lot of, like, big press lately because it is pretty popular. Like, I've heard people compare it to, like, Dark Souls or Demon Souls or something like that. So, that game could, put, like, get a cult following, but I don't see it getting a lot of mainstream appeal.
Nah, Mario just has the following for it.
Well, it's like Firefly getting canceled. Even though it was a really good fucking show.
Yeah. So, anyway, moving on to the best PS3 game. We have Journey, Assassin's Creed 3, Borderlands 2, and Dishonored.
Oh, that's hard. What was the category?
Best PS3 game.
Now, PS3. I'm going to guess that it went to either Borderlands or Dishonored.
I don't know.
From what I've heard from reviews, Journey probably deserved it, and Assassin's Creed is pretty well in the runnings, but I'm pretty sure it went to either Borderlands 3 or Dishonored.
I'm going to go with the... it's either Assassin's Creed or Borderlands for me. I don't know. I'm going to go with Assassin's Creed 3.
And you're both wrong. It was Journey.
Oh!
Wow. I did say Journey deserved it.
Yeah, they do.
I just didn't expect it would get it.
I know. Like, that's the thing. Like, the PS3 game and the Game of the Year award actually kind of surprised me about how they got things. Because these games are... Because games that won are, like... insanely good, but not for the reasons that most people watch Spike for.
Have we gone over Game of the Year yet?
No, I'm saving that till the end. I'm just going over console-specific stuff, then Studio of the Year, then Game of the Year.
But so now, as for Journey...
What?
Hey, I just... Something just went horribly, horribly wrong. Hold on. No, go ahead.
Guess what? Best Xbox 360 game. We have Halo 4, Assassin's Creed 3, Borderlands 2, and Dishonored.
Wait, what was the category?
Best Xbox 360 game. It's essentially
selections one more time.
It's the PS3 selections, but swap out Journey for Halo 4.
I'm gonna guess Halo 4 because
people who
went for 360 really went for the Halo franchise. Then again, there are a lot of Bethesda fans on it. I'll say Halo 4.
Yeah,
and you're right. It's fucking Halo 4. Of course it is.
Predictable.
Yeah, what did you expect it to be? Anyway, moving on to next category. It's Studio of the Year. So we have 343 Industries. They're the developers of Halo 4. Arkane Studios, they're the guys who made Dishonored. Gearbox, they're the ones who made Borderlands 2. And Telltale Games, the makers of The Walking Dead.
I would really like to see Telltale win.
It should go to Telltale. They made such an awesome game. Yeah!
Until one Fuck studio yeah. of the year.
Well, yeah, they made such a revolutionary game, you know?
Yep, and now for Game of the Year, we have The Walking Dead, Assassin's Creed 3, Dishonored, Journey, and Mass Effect 3.
Now, you said it surprised you, so it's gotta be either Journey or The Walking Dead, because
really
the other ones are obvious runnings.
I really hope it is.
I don't know enough about Journey, so I'm gonna go with Walking Dead.
And you're right, Walking Dead was Game of the Year.
Awesome!
So, I gotta say, there's a lot less bullshit in these awards than I thought there would be.
Yeah.
I know, dude. It really surprised me going over this list. Like, okay, yeah, some of them were, like, obvious, but Walking Dead?
It deserved it. It was
such It's
a
something
good game.
New.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, I have to ask you, do you think we have enough spare money to buy the rest of the episodes?
I want it.
Yeah. I just bought all 5 episodes, and I'm going to be playing through them all for Let Me Play That for you.
Yeah, and I really just want to finish them all to finish my review. Because I've technically put up 2/5 of a review so far, and it's been, like, what? A long-ass review so far.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot to say about that game.
Yeah, and that first video I did was fucking long. I think that's the longest video I've ever done. It was almost an hour long.
It's really good, and I think I gave the second chapter a higher rating than the first. Yeah, so I'm guessing it just keeps getting better.
Yeah, it has been a long time since I've read your reviews. So, I don't actually remember what score you gave it, but oh god, those games.
I think it was a 4 and a 4.5. Or a 4.5 and a 5. Probably a 4.5 and a 5.
Yeah, like technically, like in terms of like just tech stuff, they are kind of janky. Like frame rate drops all the time. Like the game hitches up when transitioning between gameplay and cutscene. The textures all look like ass.
And a lot of the times with the cutscenes, when you make choices, there's a big pause. But like, it's just so good story-wise.
It really is. Just like there are so many moments in that game where just that game has made me feel some things. Like specifically my unreserved hatred for Duck.
Yes, fucking Duck. Both of us have the same goal playing this game: make Duck die.
Yeah.
Actually, I've started up two files to sort of play different choices simultaneously. My second one, not only is it my goal to make Duck die, it's to make Kenny hate himself. I emotionally abuse him at every chance I get.
Oh, wow. Yeah, for this one, I'm just kind of playing it as I think I would play it, like, with best choices I can think of. But, again, like, with the Mass Effect thing, it was like my guy is kind of a bit messed up because... So in the scene of the drugstore, when Larry is freaking the fuck out, saying we gotta kill Duck, I'm like, yes, yes, kill him, kill him, kill him! But then I'm like, fuck it, I gotta protect him. I don't know why I chose to protect him! I want him to die!
Because he's a kid, and he's the only hope that, like, oh god.
Yeah.
DNA-wise.
No, I think I think I just wanted to keep him alive just so it would piss off Larry.
I think in my first file, it's pretty funny because, I hate Duck, and I try to get him killed, but I'm trying to make Kenny my best friend. So it's like most of my choices are to please Kenny, but then occasionally I have to make choices that piss him off because I'm trying to get his son killed. Like when you're handing out food in episode 2. It's not a big spoiler, so I'm going to go into it. You have to choose who gets food for the day because you're really low on food. And you can't give food to anyone in Kenny's family if you don't give it to Duck first. And I'm like, fuck it. Even if it means I have to feed Larry, Duck gets nothing.
Oh, man.
By the way, there's a character who just randomly shows up between episodes.
I really don't. Fuck Larry, honestly.
But yeah, he's such a twat head.
Yeah, I feel like there should be an option to just, like, fuck the nitroglycerin pills and just let him die.
Yeah, see, well, I don't like Larry. In my second file, I'm kind of trying to nail his daughter.
Oh, God, Lily.
Because yeah. She becomes a lot less of a bitch as time goes on, and you're nice to her.
Yeah, I'll probably be nice to her, but I'll be a dick to her father any chance I get.
Trust me, the path into her pants is through her father.
That sounds so wrong.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
I've done good work today.
Yeah. Today I've just been hurting a lot. It seems to happen always the day after we watch a Twilight movie. It's a lot of
Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
Because your mind basically gets fucked.
I know you didn't watch it because you're a pussy.
Gets fucked by sparkles.
God,
and,
sparkles.
And shirtlessness.
Oh, God. Okay, you'd think with a cast of characters that huge, there'd be more than one person I don't want to murder. But there isn't. There's just one person I don't want to kill. Just raise the entire place to the ground and let this one and let Alice live. I like her. She's not a retarded person.
Oh, is that the girl you want to screw?
It's not just that. I actually just like her as a character.
Your words exactly. You're in love with her.
Yes, she's amazing.
Dead man.
What?
You're in love with a fictional character from Twilight.
I know. You
need professional help.
You think I'm not ashamed?
My boss.
It's just, she's not horribly written. She's kind of just there as a plot device, but she's not horribly written. She is fine. She is just there, and she's not.
I must say, I do like her as a character.
Yeah, like everyone else is creepy or dead or just a bitch. She is kind of a person.
She has emotions.
It's nice.
And I guess in Dead Man's defense, she's not unattractive.
And I'm guessing that the reason I went so like gung-ho on it was because we just spent the last 2 hours with complete fucking assholes.
No. I have to say, D-Blue guy, Dead Man most definitely does not like Twilight.
No, Twilight is horrible. It is a god-awful mess that is just... I want to burn Stephanie Meyer alive. I want to just tire to a post and set her on fire.
There's one small ray of light that helps him get through it.
Are you going to start writing fanfic about you and Alice and put it on fanfiction.net?
Fuck no.
No, he's going to write fanfiction about Alice killing everyone else in the Twilight universe.
You could always write a crossover, how she like ends up in like the da-da-da-da universe and like fucks up that town. That would be epic.
No, it wouldn't.
She kills her way through the Twilight universe. That's the only thing that would be worth writing.
Okay, I have no idea what I'm talking about because I don't know anything about anything.
That is it. Just one day she like sees the future. It's like, oh wait, all these people are horrible. And starts ripping throats out left and right.
She doesn't have to see the future for that. She just has to see the present. I'm surrounded by terrible people.
Yeah, just
maybe she could leave Jasper alive. I mean, like he barely talks, but that's more personality than most of them.
Fucking Jasper.
I don't want to talk about Twilight.
Too bad, we're talking about Twilight.
I have questions about the game award things. Who got best, like best song?
Okay, let me...
Like, what are the options?
Let me boot this back up.
Because I didn't play many of the new games, so...
Okay, so who won what?
I want to know what the options are, because I want to guess.
Best song.
Aspen, calm your freaking tail, cat.
Okay, so we have best social game, best downloadable game, best DLC, best adapted video game. I have no idea what the fuck that means. Best performance by
human. Best songs, like audio.
We have best original score and best song in a game.
Both of them.
Okay. So for best original score. Just let it load up. We have Journey, Call of Duty, Black Ops 2, Halo 4, and Max Payne 3.
Please, God, Journey.
Yes.
Journey? And other one?
And apparently this award was presented by Turtle Beach. I guess they have sponsored awards now. Okay, so anyway, so then for best song in a game... We have Cities by Beck for Sound Shapes, Castle of Glass by Linkin Park for Medal of Honor Warfighter, I Was Born for This by Austin Wintory from Journey, and Tears by Hell from Max Payne 3.
Let's hope for not the Linkin Park one.
Max Payne!
Pardon, what was that one, Kitty?
Max Payne one.
No, it was actually Beck from Sound Shapes.
I've never heard any of the songs, so...
Yeah, I've never played that game. Okay, well, we have other categories if you want to go through those. So we have Best Social Game, Best Downloadable Game, Best DLC, Best Adapted Video Game, Best Performance by Human Male.
DLC.
Okay, DLC. So we have Dawnguard for the Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. We have Leviathan from Mass Effect 3. We have the Necromancer pack, for Borderlands 2. And we have the Perpetual Testing Initiative from Portal 2.
Oh, Shit, I don't know.
See,
I don't know.
I'm very torn
between Dawnguard
and Perpetual Testing Initiative.
Because, like, in Dawnguard, they added so many, like, cool things, like horseback, like, fighting and shit like that. And, like, the whole thing you could, like, shoot in the sky and an actual hot chick that could follow you around. And you get to meet, like, the snow elves.
That was disappointing.
I know, but they like, finished that. And I liked how they finished that.
No, they raised more questions than they answered. They lost it.
But the thing is, like, going through the whole Skyrim game, I was always like, what about the snow fucking elves? Why haven't we found anything about them? So it's kind of a relief that they brought that in. Yeah, but then there's Portal.
And everything about Portal 2 is amazing. I don't think we've played that DLC, though, so I'm going to go with Dawnguard.
And you're right, Dawnguard 1.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
yeah,
so then...
I discovered something very stupid, Dead Man. I was very dumb. You remember on the game podcast how I quickly went through Hearthfire?
Yep.
For the Falkreath home, I think it's Lakeview Manor, you can have a garden outside.
Oh.
I made a dumb mistake how I was talking about the greenhouse, how you can plant some of, like, the ingredients. There's a mini garden outside. It's not a very good garden. You know how, like, the farmers in Skyrim, how they'll have, like, just a random patch of just shit everywhere instead of being in rows? It's like that. I think there's about, I want to say about 11 spaces that you can plant stuff. So I think I'd still go with the greenhouse, maybe. It's kind of, like, on the edge for me now, but, yeah. I realize that you can have a fucking garden outside.
Okay, so, well, in other categories we have our best adapted video game. I have no idea what the hell that is.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, best performance by a human male. Best performance by a human female.
Those two.
What? What did you say?
Both of those.
Best performance by human male and female. Okay, not that you'll know who any of them are.
It is on my end, you guys are really choppy.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
Yeah, so anyway, so we have Nolan North as Captain Martin Walker from Spec Ops The Line. James McCaffrey as Max Payne from Max Payne 3. Dave Fennoy as Lee Everett from The Walking Dead. Ooh. And Damian Clark as Handsome Jack from Borderlands 2.
I don't know. Like, I it's just the guy from Walking Dead didn't really have a very strong... You know, he didn't really have a strong presence. When I think back to think of, like, what he sounded like, how he
No,
acted.
I remember
I
his
really...
voice. I'm going to go with him.
Well, I know that it was, like, deep and, like, manly, but I don't really... I can't really pick out what kind of a personality he has. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just... Because it's really based on the character, so I don't really know if that counts. Like, if you consider it from... That's the perspective that you're going from, considering, like, he's supposed to be very open and there's not supposed to be anything, like, very set down for his personality because it's supposed to be the character's choices, like the person that's playing. So in that respect, it's slightly impressive. But in general, I don't know. I just can't really describe him. So okay. The other one was Borderlands.
Yeah, we have then the guy from Borderlands, Handsome Jack, Captain Walker from Spec Ops, and Max Payne from Max Payne 3.
See, I would also say Nolan North is probably a good choice because he's just talented.
Yeah, he's Nolan North.
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
And you're both wrong. It was Handsome Jack from Borderlands 2.
Oh, I thought that was one from Borderlands.
Nope, 2.
I'm stupid. Well, I was going to say Borderlands, but then I thought that that's what the guy's name was because I'm very forgetful.
Yeah, no, I was talking about Nolan North, who's the dude from Spec Ops The Line.
Well, I meant Borderlands, so...
Yeah, she just didn't know what she was talking about.
Yeah. Okay, so then moving on to best performance by a human female.
It's going to be Cortana.
We have Melissa Hutchinson as Clementine from The Walking Dead.
Oh.
Emma Stone as Amanda Cartwright from Sleeping Dogs. Jen Taylor as Cortana from Halo 4. And Jennifer Hale as Commander Shepard in Mass Effect 3.
Ah, now this is...
I find it kind of interesting that on this list they have Femme Shep, but they don't have Male Shep.
Yeah, and in fact, I'm going to have to go with Shepard.
Okay.
Although, I just forgot her name, but the girl who plays Cortana, she's in a lot of shit, and...
I'm going to go with the Cortana one because it seems like it was...
The only thing I don't like about her is it's like, it's the same voice. She changes her emotion levels well, but it's the same voice for everything.
And you're both wrong. It was Melissa Hutchinson as Clementine from Walking Dead.
Oh, really?
Impressive.
Yeah, the Walking
Dead...
Yeah,
I kind of agree with that.
Walking Dead's kind of cleaning up.
Yeah, because I don't know. I thought, like, Clementine did sound a little bit corny at times, but she was supposed to be a kid after all.
Mm.
Like, when she's like, okay, about stuff, it's like,
Yeah, but, so anywho. So we also have Best Fighting Game, Best Independent Game, Best Graphics, Best Original Score, Best Song of the Game. Yeah, we did those. Best Driving Game, Best Team
Sports. Let's go with the Indies.
Indies, okay. So, we have Journey from that game company, Dust and Elysian Tale from Humble Hearts, Fez from Polytron, and Mark of the Ninja from Clay Entertainment.
Well, it's going to be Journey then, isn't it?
I don't know. Fez was pretty popular.
And Dust is actually a really interesting thing, because the entire thing was made by one guy. And his excuse for one, is like, the reason he made the game is, I wanted to learn how to code. And then he just made a fucking game, and it's awesome.
And yeah, I'm still going to guess it was Journey.
It's Mark of the Ninja. It's Journey. Journey 1, but I wanted Mark of the Ninja. Mark of the Ninja's awesome.
Apparently, I really need to play Journey.
Apparently, I really need to get a PS3.
Is that all that it's on?
Yep, it's a PS3 exclusive.
Ah, fuck that noise.
Unless that game company, I'm pretty sure it's like a Sony like first party developer or something, so all the shit comes out on Sony stuff.
Like if I got my brother to buy it, he has a PS3. Play it at his place, which is not too far from me.
Yeah.
It's down the hall.
Yeah, so anyway, so best graphics, best driving game, best team sports game, best individual sports game, best multiplayer game, best RPG, best action adventure game, and best shooter.
I know that best shooter was Borderlands 2, and I don't really give a shit about all those categories, so let's just move on from the VGAs.
Okay.
Except I'm guessing in news we're going to talk about some of the premieres.
Oh, no.
Or no, that'll be in video game news.
Yeah.
Come back
There is one thing I want to talk about, actually, because knowing what I know now about like how I started gathering news and what we can actually fit onto a podcast before you guys start losing interest. Well, specifically before Bobby Wan, our co-host, whoever it is at the time, starts losing interest. We probably won't actually be able to talk about the Phantom Pain, which I want to talk about on here.
Let's talk about it on here.
Yeah, so anyway, so the Phantom Pain, it was released like a premiere trailer thing, and it was a really cool trailer. So it was just, a lot of it was like first person or behind the back of the main character, which is a guy who was missing a hand. As he's going through a hospital, like, the hospital's being burned to the ground, everyone inside's being killed. At one point, a giant whale that's on fire comes flying out of the ground.
What?
Yeah. And then it just ends with the Phantom Pain. But there's, like, little ticks and things missing in the Phantom Pain. And some people start, like, actually going through and looking at the stuff, and it turns out the Phantom Pain may actually be Metal Gear Solid 5.
The moment I saw that dude's head, I'm like, that's Snake, isn't it?
Yeah,
they took away Snake's hand.
Yeah, like, as soon as I saw him, it's like, yeah, that looks like Snake. But yeah, it's just...
And also, when they presented this trailer at the VGAs, they really played it up as if it was Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, I didn't watch the VGAs, so all I got to see was the trailer.
Okay, well, there's a video on the site where it's, there's a chunk of the VGAs and then the trailer, including the introduction to it.
Yeah, I saw the intro thing of, like, South Park thing and then, like, saw Samuel Jackson come out. It's like, this isn't getting any better than just turned it off.
Yeah, well, if you see the way they introduce it, yeah, it's probably Metal Gear Solid 5.
If it's not, people are going to be mad that they kind of slightly misled them.
Metal Gear Solid 5, Snake goes to hell.
Like, people are going through and, like, deconstructing everything about this trailer. Like for the fact that like the guy who is like as like, the guy who's like everyone thinks is Snake, he actually has the same scars all over his face like Snake. There's one character who actually has like the same legs as another guy. I'm pretty sure I saw Psycho Mantis at the end of the trailer. And they also started digging into stuff that isn't related to the trailer, Actually, they did. Actually, one thing that's up with the trailer. So, with the end title card has those notches in. Those notches actually perfectly fit up with it. Like, if you write Metal Gear Solid 5 over it, those notches fit up perfectly with that word.
Ah.
So like,
if you use the same font, if you use the same font, the same size as that text, just says Metal Gear Solid 5, you type it in, it fits perfectly.
Awesome. So that's Metal Gear Solid 5, and it's going to be a weird one.
Yeah, and so it's so like another thing that people started looking at was like looking at the company making it, Moby Dick Studio. The fact that it doesn't exist. Like, it's, huh. Like, yeah, like, and actually, like, the guy who found the studio, like, Joachim or something. I don't know how to pronounce that name, but your ring of letters is Kojima. The guy who founded the studio and is like running Moby Dick Productions, his name is an anagram for Kojima.
You're a Kojima.
So they're really trying to shroud this in a lot of mystery.
Yeah, but and kind of Kojimas. Failing. Because if they were actually trying to shroud it in a mystery, people wouldn't be able to find out this much so quickly.
They were trying to shroud it in enough mystery that fans would find stuff out and get psyched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like on the NeoGAF forums. I was over on NeoGAF looking at this, and there was just a huge post of just everything they could find about this trailer.
Now, as far as I know, like, it had been made pretty clear that Metal Gear Solid 5 wouldn't happen, so I'm going to say that they did.
They pulled a Bethesda.
They Bethesda'd. Is a gaming term. Where you say there will absolutely not be a sequel to the game, only to have an exceptionally long development time and produce
an amazing game.
An awesome game that sells millions of copies because no one thought it was going to exist.
There was like, yeah. Oh my god!
Just pray they don't pull a Molyneux.
What's a Molyneux?
Hairstyle. It's where they hype the game up with all these features it's going to have, so much stuff, and then they just release it and it has nothing that they said.
And the features that it does have are really kind of terrible.
Or?
Fable 3. Fable 3 is what he's talking about.
Or he keeps saying, it's not on Rails, and it's on Rails.
What?
Because like, I heard a story from like E3, like on the Giant Bombcast. It was like a press thing where Peter Molyneux was showing off Fable the Journey, which was their like new like Kinect game that set the Fable universe. And he said,
and it's a rail shooter.
Yeah, and he said it was like, it's not on Rails. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a check mark up on the wall every single time I say it's not on Rails. They start to check it off, and then I get, like, the other thing, I'll just get everyone to go up and sign this so you know it's not on Rails. And then it's on fucking Rails.
Yeah, well, he's probably like, it's a cart, it's not on Rails, see? It's on a road.
Happy Wheels.
Oh god, and then he left, and they left the company he founded to found another company.
Good riddance.
Yeah, and now this new thing is just where you tap a square.
Oh yes, I've heard of this, and he's really hyped it up.
Yeah, curiosity, it's like this big thing, it's like it was, he called it a social experiment. Where they're just a cube. That's the entire game is, there's a cube. You tap it. That's it.
So it's like, don't push the big red button?
No, it's push the big red button as many times as possible.
Oh, and there are thousands of other people around the world. Better.
And there are thousands of people around the world pushing the big red button as well. And then whoever pushes the last big red button then gets a special prize they can then either show to everybody or keep to themselves. Yeah, it's weird. Like, what he's doing, he said... He like put it out there and said, "There's something amazing and spectacular and life changing at the center of the cube. And whoever's the first person to get down there, they'll be able to do whatever they want with it. They'll be able to keep it to themselves. They'll be able to show it to their friends, show it off to like everyone. They'll do all kinds of shit with it. And it's not on rails.
Who knows what it'll be? It's probably not life changing at all.
Yeah, it's probably just like a YouTube link."
To his dick. That would be life-changing. Oh my god!
Yeah, it's just a picture of Peter Molyneux naked. And dancing.
Ew.
Anyways, yeah, like, if you remember Fable 3, like, they really hyped up how the interaction was better, but it's still locked. And, oh, there's gonna be no menus. And that sucked!
Yeah.
And... oh, look at hand-holding. It's like, okay, that's great for when you're at a couple, but when I'm doing an escort mission, I'm sick of 45 minutes of holding this guy's fucking hand.
It's creepy.
Especially when they're like the, oh, what are they called? Like the aristocratic people where they're wearing ridiculous clothing and they have like the mustache and the ginormous hat and they're like roly-poly and stuff like that.
I'm your bodyguard, not your fucking boyfriend, okay?
And that, and another thing in that game, it's either in Fable 3 or Fable 2, where like at the beginning you get totally murdered by, you're like 5 years old, you get like shot in the face and thrown out the window, but then when
that
you grow
is Fable
up, you can't,
2.
You can't hurt any children. Like, I know, like, Yahtzee made a point of this, but why? Like, the intro showed horribleness happened to a child, and then you can't inflict horribleness on a child. What the fuck?
I know.
I'm gonna stay on this. I'm gonna stay on the fact that video games should have child murder. If they have child murder in a cutscene, you should be allowed to kill children. If they say you can have ultimate choice, you can be the horrible evilness of this entire land, but they should let you be a horrible evilness that can kill children.
Yeah, if you're gonna have a moral choice, for example, like in the Elder Scrolls games, moral choice is not a big thing. Like, you can just do everything, and you don't become a horrible person or a great person. People kind of comment on what you do, but...
And they'll, like, scowl at you, and they may not, like, give you the best deals, and they'll be like, we don't want you here.
But it's not,
today.
Like, a full moral choice system, so you feel more free. And it's like, I don't have to either be an angelic good person or be, like, this horrible, evil dictator person. I could just be a dude.
Yeah.
Who deals with situations as they come in front of me.
Actually, Mass Effect 3, it's been doing pretty well on that, because... Something I've noticed recently is, so like with most, like in Mass Effect 2, like what would happen was you'd have like a choice wheel for your moral choices, and if you like chose the one on the ups, if you chose the one on the upside, then you get Paragon points. If you choose the one on the down, you get renegade points. But this time around, with Mass Effect 3, when you choose, like when you have those moral choices and you choose, you don't get Paragon or renegade points. You just get reputation points. Which are added equally to your Renegade and Paragon. So it doesn't actually tell you which is the good, which is the like proper choice to make and which is the negative choice to make. It's just make a choice. And it's awesome. Recently there was a Batarian who was like dying, and it was a choice to either kill him or let him live. I killed him. Because he was a terrorist. And
you're a terrorist.
No, terrorist.
No, did I...
Like, tourist. American tur. Yeah. It's American.
Yeah, tourist.
American.
Yeah.
Did I say terrorist or tourist? Tourist.
I heard you say tourist.
Ah, but it could have been me going all
tourist. I'm going tourist hunting.
Yeah,
Americans, are you saying tourist or terrorist? Tourist.
Kaiju, you say you don't need to kill a kid in a video game. That's a good point. Most people don't. Yes. But the thing is, like, if you're supposed to be this character who's a horrible, evil person, the fact that the game makes you draw the line at killing children is ridiculous. If I'm a terrible, evil person, I should kill everyone in my path, women, children, anything.
Do you know
and even more so, in a game where children are already being killed, where children are already being shot or blown up. Why can you not do that?
Yeah, it's not a need to kill children. It is a choice to kill children. It is like you should have the option to kill them.
It's not that I want to run around Skyrim killing children. It's just like, well, not even Skyrim, but it's not like I want to run around Fable 2 killing children. But like if they shouldn't be limiting me that way.
Yeah, well, and like honestly, if they are limiting, why give them a life bar? At one point, I was like, you know what, fuck this, I'm going to destroy this town, I'm killing everybody. I saw a kid, I went up to, he had a health bar, so I started swinging at him, and nothing happened. Like, okay, why does he have a life bar, and I can attack him, but it won't let me kill him, it won't let me hurt, do any damage. Like, what the fuck is going on?
So, like, you can't completely destroy a village.
No.
Like, you should be able to. As a tyrant, you should be able to be like, I'm going to go destroy this village and kill everyone in it, but... You can't. You can kill everyone but the children, who will never grow up to be old enough for you to murder.
Yeah.
Do you know how badly in Skyrim I want to just, like, all the kids in Solitude, how they're, like, all three of them run up to you, like, do you want to play tag? Sometimes I love playing tag with them. It's funny, because I can get to places and glitch to places that they can't find me, and then they're like, where'd you go? And the mechanic kind of sucks for that. But do you know how badly I want to just be at the top of the hill, right outside the market area, and just throw down them right over to the Hall of the Dead over there, that was the first thing I tried whenever I encountered a kid that was really annoying. I'm like, okay, I'll save. Okay, guards are going to kill me for this. The kid will survive. They'll just be traumatized. So I tried Fusoda, and it just... They just stared at me. I'm like, what? Come on. This is like a dragon show. How are you just standing there completely unfazed? You didn't even blink.
Okay.
I guess,
once again, Kaijudo.
I guess there's an age gate on how how old you have to be before dragon shots have effect on you.
So yeah, Kaijudo, once again, you say just download the Skyrim mod and kill all the virtual kids you want. It's not that we want to kill virtual kids. It's we think that in a game where children are already being murdered and you are painted as a tyrant, you should be able to. It's not that we want to kill virtual kids. This has not solved the problem. We think the game creators are jackasses.
No, I think society is being jackass because they're like, why would you want to kill kids in a game? Well, that's not really the point. It's not like it's a bad thing. There's kids dying every day. Do you put money towards freaking starving, being slaughtered children? I'll put them in China where they're making your fucking clothes. No? Okay, then. Well, then. See, yes. I personally I can do nothing about it.
If someone is role-playing an evil person, they should be able to do evil stuff.
And plus, what if you don't have Skyrim for PC like us? We have it for 360.
Yeah, my PC can't run Skyrim.
Mine probably can.
But yeah, like if you have it on a console, you can't fucking mod it.
Yeah, so...
I fully believe that Fusoro should kill the kids.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. Kaijudo hates console players.
Funny story. Like, I've got a pretty well set up console, and I can run a lot of games really smoothly at really high quality. Metro 2033 is choppy.
Yeah, I got Metro 2033 on console.
Yeah, I have it on PC because I got it in the Humble THQ bundle.
Yeah.
I spent $1 on that bundle.
Yeah. Oh, also, speaking of console games. So, bullshit story that happened recently. I talked about this to you, Bobby-Wan, but I don't think I've actually talked about it on the podcast.
Right.
Yeah, so we have a local video game retailer in my town, Iceman Video Games. They are a fantastic location that are way better than anything EB Games or GameStop has ever done. And so I went in there to try trading the game.
Sorry, go ahead. I have another story to tell about them in a minute, though.
Yeah, so I went in to try trading the game. I went in to try to trade in Rage, which I have no desire to play anymore. Like, I've driven to like three different towns and shot like 12 people, and I feel like I've seen everything the game has to offer. And so I went to try to trade that in. But unfortunately, because game cases today are fucked, there was a crack in the ring, like in the inner ring of the disc, and I couldn't trade it in.
My copy of Skyrim is exactly the same. I don't keep it in the on the case anymore. I have a CD sleeve inside the case that I tuck it into.
But yeah, like I think the first time we pulled it out of its case, like
it cracked.
Yeah. Like, really? Fucking really?
Yeah, this is the first time that's happened to me.
I'll give you $5 for Rage.
Okay. I'll take it.
I hate how they make you pay so much goddamn money for a fucking game, and they just keep lowering the quality in which you get it. I hate that. It's like,
which
really?
Is why I used to hate PC gaming purists. I'm not a PC gaming purist, but... Now that I have a gaming PC, and now that I've bought games for the PC, I'm like, oh my god, it's so much cheaper! I have spent about the price of a single brand new Xbox 360 game on PC games. I'm pretty sure I have more PC games than Xbox 360 games now.
Oh, I know for a fact I do. And most
like,
of those games
I just
got,
do a
yeah,
real
most
quick
yeah, most count? Of those games got for like a buck.
Yeah, or they were free to play, or like bundles.
Yeah, or
which
review copies.
Which makes you think perhaps like they're like you can download most like console games on PC. You can buy them for PC, but you can download most of them for like a majorly discounted price. But I don't think that's really fair. You're paying for what? Maybe 25 cents for the case, maybe a dime for freaking. The paper label that goes inside of it, and how much for the disc? Again, a few more cents.
They
ship it in bulk, so it's not like it's that much money. I'm not going to pay $20 for the case and the disc and freaking stuff for it to fucking crack the first time I take it out.
I have 42 PC games. I have roughly 20 Xbox 360 games.
How many do I have?
Well, while you're doing that, my brother actually, on the local radio station there, Bob, he was in town to finish up his high school upgrading. He had to get a higher grade on a course, so he had to go back and do it again. He won a $25 gift certificate for Iceman.
Oh, that's nice. But anyway, yeah, I have 68 PC games currently installed on my computer. I have 73 in total. Just five of them are installed.
I miss old PC games. Like, did anyone ever play all the old Might and Magic games, like number 6 and number 7? Those are awesome. Or the King's Quest games. Oh, I miss those. Or the Incredible Machine. I love that game.
Yeah, when I was a kid, like when I was in console gaming, my only real PC experience was playing NHL 96 from with my dad.
I used to play the old games back when you had to play with DOS.
Oh, God,
like Worm.
Yeah,
the game Worm.
I guess technically you didn't have to. I mean, Windows was around, but like we just used DOS.
And yes, Kaijudo, we do press down on the center thing for the disc, but it
does.
No,
I don't know how a fucking
down.
Game case works. When I'm comparing current ones to old ones, I never knew how to work them. Yes, I push down on the things. On the new ones, they fucking suck. And even if you push down on them as far as you can and make it as small as possible, your game can get damaged.
Yeah, because, like, it's
Or the case can get damaged because it's fucking horrible now. Like, all the cases, they're, like, the fucking, like, environmentally friendly ones that are, like, made with, like, 25% less plastic. But then that means that if you put them in, like, a bag or something, then, like, something can get poked through and scratch the fuck out of your disc.
Like, why don't they just use recycled plastic instead of less plastic? Oh, money! So they can charge you more!
Fuck.
Game companies.
You want environmentally friendly gaming? Steam!
Well, honestly, though, the Wii is decent for the gaming cases. Like, 360 is terrible for their cases, and PS game cases are pretty bad, too, as far as I've heard. But Wii cases, they're actually, like, nice, decent cases still. They don't really cheap out.
They're not bad. I haven't seen the inside of a Wii U game case, so I don't know if they are keeping up the tradition.
I don't know either. I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I am kind of pissed, though. Like, you remember old school, like, CD cases for games, how you could whip them across the goddamn room and they'd be like completely unsafe. It's like, look at that. It's still good.
You remember back in the old days when you had cartridges?
Or you had to use a floppy disk?
Because, I don't yell at every question asked to me. I yell at stupid fucking questions asked to me.
I just want to go back to like the old. I actually want to like just find a way to like manipulate cartridges so that they can have like the same storage space as a disc. I just use that for gaming. The thing is working, blowing it.
Yeah.
I miss cartridges.
Cartridges were
like,
awesome.
They never broke.
You know what's the ridiculous thing now? With the revolutions in storage space and SD cards, we could have cartridge gaming. We could have bigger games on cartridges than we can on discs.
Yeah, just
the cartridge could be tiny.
We could, I don't know, just like sell SSDs with games on them instead of actually. Like, yeah, let's just do that. Let's just go back to cartridge gaming, please. I want it. But or just like wait to the future when I'm pretty sure it's gonna be like cloud based.
Yeah, but like. Right now, we need games on solid media, and I don't know why they're on discs. Discs are so sensitive. And I understand an SD card is tiny, but, like, why not? Or something like that.
Nintendo was...
Something like Nintendo, a Nintendo DS. As long as you give it a good case.
Like, those games, like, they weren't exactly the greatest games, but they did well. I actually had a DS for a while, and the games in it were pretty good. The in-game graphics were pixely as fuck. All the pre-rendered cinematics had like a fuck ton of compression on them, like just artifacting all over the place. But they worked, and
that's
I actually
because
could
of the system though.
And I actually did. I actually took that thing and I actually took those like things and threw them across the room. I fucked those things up. And they worked fine.
Yeah, we should really go back to cartridge gaming. There's no more reason for it. The reason it switched over to discs is because at the time, discs were able to hold so much more data than cartridges. But now it's different.
Like
now
with
we could make
SD card.
Yeah, we could make cartridges hold so much more than discs.
Yeah.
Like they got it right with the DS, how they pretty much had them like an SD card. Like that was smart.
Now here's why it isn't bad to cartridge gaming is because of what you can do to a Nintendo DS. You can get a conversion cartridge that allows you to put a micro SD card in and put on whatever program, whatever games you want.
And you can do that with consoles too.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, no matter what form of media you're using, someone's going to find a way to crack it.
That's true.
So would you rather make it harder for them, thus harder on your consumers, or make it easier? Just all around. That, like if things were easier to use, then people might not feel the need to pirate them.
I just can't wait for things to go more retro, where people like, oh, it used to be like this, let's go back to that, because it will. They'll be like, oh, discs, yeah, they suck. Look at this hardy case. Yeah, look at this. It's Nintendo cartridges now.
Check this out. I got the 64-bit cart.
But you know what I mean? How they go in loops so stupidly.
You know what's the fun thing, too, though, is that SD technology is actually faster for reading than CDs.
Yeah, because
so you would have faster
spin.
Gameplay on a cartridge.
Yeah. And, like we said, you can get an insane amount of shit on cartridges.
Microsoft can't understand how an SD card works. That's why a lot of the time you have problems with, like, Microsoft applications and stuff like that, not reading your fucking SD card. It's like, come on! It's like, oh, you put something in the computer, but we don't quite know what it is. They haven't figured out SD cards yet.
Yeah, I remember a couple of days ago, I'm putting some new songs on my phone, which is my MP3 player now, and so like, I had to pull out the SD card and put that in. So I actually had to blow into the thing to get it to work.
But you know what? At least
I actually had to blow into the SD slot to get it to work. And it just took me back, man. I'm like 3 years old. I got a copy of like Buster Bust Loose. Just slamming that in my SNES. Ah.
I don't know if it was my imagination or not, but I just heard the sound of a Game Boy Advance turning on.
That was a microwave.
Yeah, I heard microwave too.
Okay, it sounded so similar. I'm like, is this just me? Is it my nostalgia coming through?
Oh man, it was a simpler time back then. Back when people didn't really know what Asperger's was, and I was just weird.
Crazy. Ah,
but then back then
man.
I wouldn't be. Yeah, but then if I had the same age I have been now back then, I would get my disability check.
Oh, no.
No, you'd be put in a special classroom.
Yeah,
nowadays, yeah. No matter what your mental disability is, and no matter what grade you get pushed through. You don't even have to try in high school anymore.
Yeah, I barely had to try anyway, and I still got better than everybody else who didn't have mental disabilities.
I didn't care enough to do work.
Neither did I. I barely did any homework. But I still somehow got paid for doing calculus. It was like that was a really good day for me. Just woke up one day, just went to school, it's like, here's this for you. It's like, oh okay. $150 for doing calculus. Oh, okay. Then I went out and bought Red Steel 2. and then like 4 months later I sold my Wii. I still got $200 for it.
I'm not big on motion controls. There's a time I thought I was, but then it's like, that's just adding movement into my gaming.
Yeah, we don't want that. Like, I move enough for, like, gesticulating when I'm, like, gaming and stuff and, like, doing these things. Like you've seen me do these things.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking throwing bows everywhere, man. So, yeah, just feeling the need, like for really stupid things, like Dance Central. That seems like the kind of, thing that that Motion Gaming was meant for.
And those games are really stupid, but kind of fun to do with a group of friends because everyone's embarrassed. No one's dancing right.
Yeah, they're the only, like, Dance Central games are the only reason that I even considered once picking up a Kinect.
You know what I was sad about?
Mm.
That new one with, like, Gangnam Style on it. It's nowhere near with the dancers! So fucking stupid. Like, they have a lot of the dance moves, but they have them completely out of order and at completely the wrong times. Like, the ones that are during the chorus they have during, like, the verses. It pissed me off. I'm like, if this was in front of me, I would just do Gangnam Style. Like, the full dance.
Yeah, the dance game that has Gangnam Style is a subpar dancing game.
I was so sad when I saw that. I'm like, is Gangnam Style? Like, sure, they have the horse dance part, but when they do, like, the leg slide, they do it twice. And it's like, well, the other part is where you put their two hands on your knee and you, like, do, like, the pump thing and then, like, you turn your ass around a couple times all sexily. But they have that during the first part. They have you do that then. I'm like, why? Why did you do that? Just have it where it's supposed to be. Why not?
Because the people who play Just Dance are idiots. Like, seriously, that game came out for the Wii, and unfortunately, like, well, I guess, unfortunately, depending on your point of view or something, but you kind of, the Wii doesn't exactly have, like, even anywhere close to, like, the body mapping and motion control thing of the Kinect, so all it is just making sure that your Wii remote is in the same relative position that it is. So you can pretty much just, like, swing your arm around and pass a song.
But that would be quite hard. You know what they should come out with? They should come out with, like, instead of, the, like, they had a balance board, but they should totally have came out with, like, the Wii mat. That would have been really cool. Like, a full mat instead of a DDR mat where it registers wherever your foot is instead of four spots. I think that would have been really freaking cool. And it could, like, light up if you're having difficulty with something in particular like that, where it'd have, like, the, like, footsteps on there that would, like, wouldn't that be cool? If it's trying to help you out, like, it doesn't matter what it is if you're practicing. No, like, if you're practicing sports techniques, they have the Wii Sports.
It'd be real stupid.
Speaking of Wii Sports Resort, there's something I have to point out with it is they did this really stupid line of advertisements where they had actual athletes compete with people who had no idea what they were doing, and they're like, yeah, the athletes did better because it's real.
No, and it's like, the athletes did better because they're athletes.
They had a trained swordsman do it, and he did better. But they did the speed slice. But if you do the actual sword fighting, it's all your blocking skill is based on direction. So if they hit the direction of your sword that your hands are on the sword, then it will make you break your block. Here's the problem. Having some degree of sword training, I know that since this is kendo based, you block with the suba, the part directly above your hands. So when I see a swing coming from the top right, I move my arms to the top right so that the suba is where their blade would hit. And I line it up so that their blade will hit just above my suba and slide down my blade if it's a proper strike. What happens is I flail my hands out like an idiot because they hit in the direction of my hands.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, I'm blocking the way a swordsman is supposed to block.
Those games aren't made for swordsmen. Those games are made for, like, people with too much sugar. Mainly children. Like, you're not supposed to actually put any skill to that. You're just going.
Well, the only way to actually use any level of skill to win that game is to learn to do the opposite of what you would do if you were a proper swordsman. Which is block with the very tip of your sword. Swing directly at your opponent's suba. It's just terrible.
Yeah. Anywho. So yeah, it is 6 o'clock. You know what it's time for.
Kiss it! It's my turn!
It's time for news of the...
Fuck you two.
These are news stories that for one reason or another I didn't feel like making someone write an article about it. Such as... The entire Japanese Game Boy Advance software collection is currently up on eBay. Yeah, so that is 795 carts that came out for the Japanese It came before the Japanese thing.
The Hold Japanese on one second. Advance.
Oh my god.
What's happening?
It's because the soundboard has options for what they are now. You'll have to re-collaborate them.
You pressed the FN button, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, so anyway, so when he originally posted, when the guy originally posted this, that was 795 cards for the entirety of the Game Boy.
Sorry, Delighter just got here.
Oh, you did? Hi, Delighter.
And his first thing, just the tip.
Yep. Yes, anywho. Yeah, so this thing was originally the like the 795 Japanese Game Boy Advance cards for the entire thing, and it was originally going for $5,800.
Wow.
But he has since dropped that price down to $5,104, taking off 12%. So yeah, that's still pretty decent. You know, the price before it was $7.30 a cart. And so now I don't have a calculator in front of me, so I can't really do the math because I'm really bored.
It's numbers. But
actually, yeah, I'm just gonna do. Five, seven, nine, five. Yes, that's about $642 a cart. Which
All right.
is pretty decent. Which is a pretty decent deal. So yeah, like I said, this is up on eBay right now. I'll post a link in the comments for this when we get the thing. So right now, there are 4 days left in the sale, and if you're listening to this on the site or iTunes, assuming that you're listening to this the day we post it, you'll only have 3 days left. So if you're interested, yeah, that's going to be happening. And actually, on this article, according to the Wikipedia thing, they actually have, like, listed off, like, a bunch of different Nintendo consoles that have, like, the different, like, things, like, the different number of titles to them. So, like, the Famicom had 1,055. The Super Famicom had 1,442. The original Game Boy had 814. The DS had just shy of 1,300, and the PlayStation 2 had over 2,000. And apparently, the Virtual Boy only had 22. Yep. Yeah, the Virtual Boy was a Nintendo thing that came out like years ago, and it was like the first. They called it, like, the first truly 3D console.
And it was terrible, I believe.
Yeah. Like, you had to actually, like, put the giant goggle things. You had to, like, stand on an actual stand to use it.
Or you had to, like, duck it. Oh, I used that. I played that. I played that at the last Fan Expo I went to. I believe I played Wario World. It's not very good.
No.
It's kind of cool, but everything's red.
Yeah, not exactly a lot of colors. Anyway, moving on to our next piece of news. So, a 13-year-old in Japan, specifically Fukuoka, he wanted to be an anime hero. So, he went around and started lighting trash on fire.
Hmm. And why does that make him an anime hero?
I have no idea. Yeah, so like, people asked him why he was doing it, and the kid said he wanted to learn how it was to handle fire, quote, like an anime hero. And people in Japan were speculating that the kid was trying to be the Dark Flame Master from Chunbyo Demo Koe ga Shitai, which I've never heard of.
Never heard of either.
But yeah, so just let's be listening to you, kids. If you want to be an anime character, don't set things on fire at random.
No, what you need is you need a childhood friend who you are somewhat attracted to.
Or you could be completely unattracted to her, but she is really into you.
And then you need to have a completely normal everyday life that you want to escape from.
Yeah. And then robots. Pretty much. Yeah, so anyway, we were on to the next piece of news. So, a recent study that was published by a group of Spanish scientists have concluded that if people crowdsource a video game, a crowdsource video game can actually be an effective way to identify and analyze malaria-causing parasites.
What?
Yeah.
What? What the fuck?
Crowdsourced video games have actually done a lot. They helped major steps in AIDS research.
I know, but that's just kind of really odd.
But it's not like you crowdsource the game to get funding for that. It's you crowdsource the game to analyze the malaria.
Yeah.
That's
what happened with one of the big leaps forward in AIDS. I forget what it was a certain protein they had to figure out. They had to learn more about, like, learn its structure better in order to help fight AIDS. And they crowdsourced this game where basically you can change proteins around and try and find shapes that work. And the gaming community found it.
Oh, cool.
And so by finding out this protein and exactly how it behaves, by knowing its composition and shape, huge strides were made in fighting AIDS.
Cool. Yeah, so the scientists wrote in their paper on this, so over 1 month, anonymous players from 95 countries played more than 12,000 games and generated a database of more than 270,000 clicks on the test images. Results revealed that combined 22 games from non-expert players achieved a parasite counting accuracy higher than 99%. This performance could be obtained also by combining 13 games from players trained for 1 minute.
That's actually pretty cool. Holy crap.
Yeah, it really is.
There's hope for humanity.
Yeah, so video games fight disease.
Delighted wants to know what the Death Store Prod Skype name is, but I don't think we should randomly bring people on from the chat anymore. It's gone badly in the past.
We don't have a Death Store Prod Skype name.
Yeah, we
just have our Skype names, and we only bring people on if we're bringing them on for staff, so...
And I don't have a Skype name.
Yeah. Sorry.
Womp womp.
Yeah, so anyway. Moving on to next piece of news. So, a little while ago, I got a lead researcher on the Curiosity rover mission, John Grotzninger. He said that they made a discovery that was, quote, for the history books. NASA released a statement saying it wasn't that big of a deal. But, according to at the American Geophysical Union's meeting in San Francisco, NASA scientists revealed that they found some organic compounds on the Curiosity rover.
That is interesting.
What kind though?
They found some compounds that contained the element carbon. That's pretty much it.
So it could be an interesting discovery.
It could be an interesting discovery, or it could be someone done fucked up. Or it could just be something. Hey, we found this stone. It has carbon in it. Ooh.
Like, it might not be organic compounds, like, it's carbon.
Yeah, so anyway, Paul Mahaffey,
If it's carbon chains, though, that would be interesting.
Yeah, so anyway, Paul Mahaffey, who's NASA's lead scientist on the data gathered by the SAM unit on Curiosity, which is the sample analysis at Mars, and he said, we really consider this a terrific milestone. We have no definitive detection of Martian organics at this point. But we'll keep looking in the diverse environments of the Gale Crater. So yeah.
Dead man, you made Delighter sad.
I did?
You did. Aww.
Well, sorry, we Delighter. Did.
I did nothing.
Sorry, Delighter. Like, I do like you, but...
Perhaps you should, even though I should probably not say anything like this, you should put in a resume sort of thing.
We aren't really looking
for Dead Man.
I'm really looking for anyone right now.
What if I decided to not be on the Anything Cast anymore and I decided to go die?
Then we'll cancel the Anything Cast.
Aww!
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Delighter. Like, you're awesome and I love you, but we aren't really...
We're not hiring at the moment.
And we don't really like just throwing out our Skype names to random people.
You should make new Skype name, then. How about that, Dead
No,
man?
We also don't like bringing people from the chat onto the podcast.
We did that once and it went bad.
We did it once and it went badly. The Weird Nate is the last person we brought on.
And y'all know how he turned out.
The one who hates giraffes.
Oh, no. the previously gay guy that now hates giraffes and says that he doesn't despite the fact that giraffes are gay, and he hates gay people despite the fact that that was God's creation, but he doesn't even know what he's talking about, right?
So moving on to our next piece of news. So, Koikea, a Japanese snack maker, released potato chips specifically designed for couples.
Aww. So,
like, are they like two hearts that like the ends of the heart are connected or something? And you like break them apart like that? Or I don't know.
No, well, they're chips in the shapes of hearts.
Ah!
Yeah, so anyway, the chips
come in two flavors. I'm thinking some cosplay photos. Are you thinking some cosplay photos?
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, the chips come in two flavors, lemon pepper and sugar butter.
Ew.
I have no idea what they. I have no idea what those taste
like. I love lemon pepper, man.
Just lemon pepper on potato? Oh.
Mm.
What about a actual flavor?
Oh. Yes, anyway, and the bags are like specifically designed, I'm guessing, to like say who should be eating these chips, because the lemon pepper chips have a top hat on them, which is presumably male, and then the sugar butter ones have a bow on them.
So they're not meant for couples, they're meant for genders. They're gender specific. Because you'd have to buy two bags.
Well, the bags they like put together, and the design on them actually carries. Like the design has like a ribbon on them that's in the shape like shapes into hearts, but then on either bag on either side of the bag the heart's kind of cut off. So then if you put two of the bags together, you can actually form a complete heart with them.
Okay.
So
odd. Is this Japanese?
Yes, it's Japanese. Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
Of course, it's fucking Japanese.
Did you hear the chip flavors? Those are Japanese chip flavors.
I like sour. I like the cheese and sour cream ones. They're really good.
Yeah. Well, so moving on to next piece of news.
Cheese.
So moving on to next piece of news. Forbes has named Eddie Murphy as the world's most overpaid actor.
Sorry, what?
Eddie Murphy is Forbes' most overpaid actor.
Okay.
Forbes? What's Forbes?
They're a magazine that do like financial stuff. They like name off like the richest people in the world, the best, the most earning actors in the world, and they also do apparently the most overpaid actors. So yeah.
Why do I care about this?
I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
What has he ever done? Nothing.
No, Eddie Murphy. He's done quite a bit.
He gets two raspberries. That's it.
Yeah. Well, so moving on to next week's news. So, a little while ago, we reported on the news that the guy who founded McAfee was the chief suspect in a murder investigation. And so he was in hiding from the Belize people. But then some journalists fucked up and accidentally revealed his location.
Oh.
Yeah, so what they did was they took a picture with their iPhone of saying, hey, we're actually standing here with John McAfee, but they took it with their iPhone and uploaded it to Twitter. And since they did that, they can the people were actually able to like deconstruct the photo and break down and figure out where that photo was taken.
What? They're so fucking... Why are people so stupid when it comes to social media? Like,
I have no idea.
Freaking high schoolers uploading photos of themselves at their friend's party with like alcohol on the table behind them and having like cups in their hand. They can get fucking charged and arrested for that if the police see those photos. It's not like this harmless, people can't do anything. No, it's obviously showing you drunk as a teenager, which
please
is illegal.
Don't let me yell at Kaijudo. Please don't let me yell at Kaijudo. Please don't yell at me. I was just talking yesterday about how much the idea that all actors are overpaid and don't do much work is terrible, because actors work really, really hard.
Well, celebrity actors are overpaid. Many stage actors, like theater actors, they're not overpaid. They get paid not very much. Because a lot of the time what happens is, and it's not due to the actor's fault, is they'll get called in. It's like, okay, we need to do this and such. It's like, okay, I'll be there. And they've been told to be there for over 20 hours, and they're not even told to film. It's like, okay, actually, we don't need you today. 20 hours.
So anyway, back to this piece of news.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, since his location got blown, he has since left the country and went to Guatemala. So McAfee said in a blog post, I apologize for all the misdirection over the past few days. I'm in Guatemala and will be meeting with Guatemalan officials tomorrow, this morning. He's hired a lawyer, and he's going to try to defend himself against the murder charge and whatever other charges the Belize government throw at him. But recently, the Guatemalan Interior Minister, Mauricio Lopez Bonilla, has said that he is planning to kick McAfee out of the country. Saying that, quote, he entered the country illegally and we are going to seek his expulsion for his crime.
Uh-oh.
So yeah, McAfee's kind of fucked.
Yeah, pretty much.
Really fucked. So, anywho, moving on to the next piece of news. Pizza Hut is making a perfume.
Pizza Hut.
What? I like pizza. I don't really like Pizza Hut, but I like pizza.
Pizza Hut is making a perfume.
This is their worst idea since hot dog stuffed crust.
Hot dog stuffed crust.
No.
Which, oddly, I want to try, but I think it'll be terrible.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fucking disgusting. But stuff, like, regular old stuffed crust is fine. I like stuffed crust.
But hot dog stuffed crust.
I want to try that. I'm sorry, but I want to try that. But, like, why perfume? No.
Apparently, it's based on the strong response to a Facebook post.
Oh, and God.
This is Pizza Hut Canada.
I'm ashamed.
Yes, when at Pizza Hut Canada, they hired a perfume maker to check out some stuff. And so the Pizza Hut marketing director, Beverly DeCruz, said, we smelled a range of 4 or 5, my team and I, and we zoomed into one we liked that smelled the closest to what we were hoping for. Some of them smelled like cheese, and you know how delicious cheese tastes, but it doesn't smell as delicious. The smell of freshly baked bread is one we all love. One we all loved. All we're trying to do is have some fun with our consumers. Marketing is becoming a two-way conversation instead of being a one-way download. Previously, it was TV ads, and it was just one way. Now it goes both ways, and you're listening to people and responding. And so, as this article says, quote, sadly, they only made 110 bottles of the perfume, and they've all already been taken
by idiots.
Yep.
See,
yeah,
so
I don't
want to
smell like Pizza Hut.
Hmm? Yeah, and so apparently the first 100 people who sent a direct message to the company on Facebook actually got one of the perfumes, and the rest were like giving out to either employees or some other stupid thing. And when people asked, "Hey, are we ever gonna get any more?" DeCruz said, "Who knows what the future has in store."
Like, I'd understand bacon perfume if it actually smelled like bacon. That would be awesome.
Fucking bacon.
Around smelling like fucking bacon. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. And actually, Bobby, I'm with your hot stuff. It's actually funny because the article ends with this sentence. Hey, it's no worse idea than hot dog stuffed crust, right?
But, like, so, yeah. What's the point in buying perfume? I don't understand why people buy perfume. Most perfume smells so artificial. Like, the only perfume I would buy would be, like, the perfumes and colognes. Because they actually have them for the characters themselves. And since it's, like, official, I would buy those. So when I'm cosplaying those characters, I would spray that on myself. Like, because I'd
do
Izaya and
you would have Izaya scent. I would have Shizuo scent.
Yeah. Oh, man. Other than that, just mix like oil and water, like essential oils, whatever scent you want, and then just use that. It works so much better, and it's so much more potent, and it stays on you so much better. Buying perfumes is stupid. Like $100 for fucking perfume.
It's much cheaper to mix an essential oil with water.
Or how about, I don't know, shower. Do your laundry. That's good too. Like if you're wearing fresh clothes and you showered at least like 2 days ago, you're fine.
Like, okay, well, moving on to the next piece of news. Yes, moving on to the next piece of news. So, things have been, like, kind of tense between China and Japan recently because of stuff.
Stuff?
I have no idea. Yeah, like, apparently, like, there was some big dispute over islands and something, and protesters in, like, China have been, like, really anti-Japanese stuff happening over there recently. And some, and like according to Nikon, some spa, like in China, some sites that were like that share pirated clips that in videos like for like Japanese anime and stuff have been like taken down and shut down in the name of like patriotism or something. But apparently there may be a way to like get these countries working together and to get them not fighting. You know how?
How?
Porn.
Porn solves everything.
No. What?
Yeah.
Don't say that.
Yeah. Yeah, because apparently there was a Japanese porn star, Aoi Sola, who is actually like one of China's most popular porn stars. So this could bring them together. With porn.
Porn.
Yep.
Wow. It's disgusting on so many levels.
Yeah. It's great that Kotaku has just a porn section.
You reminded me, Dead Man. You reminded me of something. Did I ever tell you about the cupcake and bacon flavored toothpastes?
Yes.
Many times.
I don't know if people on the listening to the anime cast know, but yeah, cupcake flavored toothpaste. It's really good.
Yeah. So moving on to our next piece of news. So, as we said earlier, Journey did get some recognition. Get some recognition at the Spike Video Game Awards, but they got some even more recognition. So, Austin Wintory, the composer of the game, has been nominated for a Grammy.
Who?
Austin Wintory.
Who?
He's the guy. He's the guy who did all
the score for Journey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, and he's been nominated for a Grammy, which is a music award. Yeah, so his work is going to be his work is going to be going up against John Williams, Ludwig Borchi, Hans Zimmer, and Trent Reznor in the award things. But that's really cool that he got nominated.
That's mostly a tough lineup to go against.
But still, it's awesome that he got nominated. It's just showing how awesome video games are getting. Like this is only the look at this thing. Yeah, so this the Journey soundtrack is actually the first full video game soundtrack that's been nominated for a Grammy. But
yeah, that's really awesome.
But it's not actually the first music from a video game to be nominated, to win a Grammy, because Christopher Tins of Baba Yetto from Civilization IV actually won a 2010 Grammy for Best Instrumental Arrangement Accompanying Vocalists. But still, they fucking nominated for an award, and that's awesome.
I'm sorry, I have to go do a quick aside to the chat. Kaijudo said, yeah, no matter where you're from, we all fuck. Obviously, you've never been to Manitoba.
Really?
Manitobans don't have sex. Ever.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What if you're like... No, never mind. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. So moving on to our next piece of news. Pan's Labyrinth is being made into a musical.
Really?
No! Really? Why? Why are they ruining that awesome movie?
I don't know, but Guillermo del Toro is working on it.
Like, maybe if it's a really dramatic musical where it's not like, it's music! Maybe, but I don't think so. Like, it was so awesome, the movie, the way that they portrayed it.
It's a stage musical, not a movie musical.
It's possible to do it well.
I don't think so. Like, the way it ended, how are you going to portray that on a stage? Whether you're unsure whether she was imagining it or not. How are they going to really portray that?
Practical effects and a lot of imagination and possibly a lot of drugs. Either given to them or given to the audience. Just every time they go to order a drink, they just spike it.
I need to brush my teeth.
Yes, but anyway, Del Toro's working on writing it. Oscar winner Gustavo how the fuck do you pronounce that last name? Santa Olalla.
No, it's pronounced Vispin.
Yeah. Anyway, the guy, one of the guys who worked on Brokeback Mountain is writing the music for this thing, and Oscar winner Paul Williams is writing the lyrics.
Don't know who any of those people are.
Neither do I.
Oh my god, Kat, get your head out of there. No, he's lying on my left. He's lying on my lap, and he's trying to get comfortable, but you can see where that's going. And, like, he likes to put his head in a nook. So, usually he's lying in my arms, so he'll shove his head under my arms, but he's lying on my lap right now.
Oh, he's god. So, really we're going to next piece of news. Glenn Beck.
Ah, Glenn Beck. Remember, kids, Beck means ejaculating into one's own eye. Tell your friends. I have submitted it to Urban Dictionary. Support me.
Yeah, so anyway, Glenn Beck is teaming up with Vince Vaughn for a reality TV show.
Sure.
Yep.
He can go ahead and fail at that.
Yeah, so the show will be on Beck's The Blaze, which is his internet TV network, and it's going to be called The Pursuit of Truth, which is a show about a bunch of filmmakers competing for the right to for financing to create a documentary film. The person who wins will get worldwide distribution of their film. So, yeah.
Glenn Beck can go away.
Yeah, pretty
much. I hope Glenn Beck becks.
I hope they all beck.
And then dies. Yeah. Hell, I hope that Vince Vaughn becks Glenn.
What?
But then he wouldn't really be... But they would be becking because it's not his own eye.
Oh, that's true. No, 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 no,
he
no,
gets,
no.
He gets
double
the guy
shot.
To, no, 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 no. He gets the other guy to make him beck into his own eye.
Or that could be Vince Vaughn jerking off Glenn Beck until Glenn Beck becks.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So moving on to our next piece of news and away from this horrible, horrible topic. Arnold Schwarzenegger has signed on for Terminator 5 and possibly Terminator 6.
Oh, he's old, though.
Yes, he is.
He's so old, he's going to break his hip. No, I'm serious. Yeah, he's going to have,
It's funny, this all happened because Megan Ellison, who is a super producer, who, I guess, founded Annapurna Productions, had actually been, in court battle against Pacific Corp for the rights for Terminator. It's going for a while, and so she recently closed the deal and got the rights. And Justin Lin, who is the guy who made Fast and Furious 3 through 6, he was attached to direct at some point, but he is gone now. But Arnold Schwarzenegger is still signed on. And so she is partnering with her brother, David, who is the guy who makes Skydance Productions. They're the people who made Mission Impossible 4, Jack Reacher, and the new Star Trek Into Darkness. And so they are working on making a new Terminator film. And so, if they want to get these films made, they need to make them before 2019. Because in 2019, James Cameron gets the rights to the Terminator back.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So at least you know Arnold won't get that old.
Yeah. So in the next 6 to 7 years, we could be seeing as much as 2 more Terminator movies. So moving on to next week's news. Psy, the guy what made Gangnam Style, once rapped about torturing and killing American soldiers and their families.
But what's that context? Is it like a joke or is it about people who did that?
So we'll get into it. So in 2004, there was a protest happening in Korea, again, that was happening to protest the U.S. occupation of Iraq. And at one point, the Americans beheaded a Korean missionary.
Oh.
And so Psy, along with the band Next, made a song called Dear American. It had the following lines in it. Kill those fucking Yankees who've been torturing Iraqi captives. Kill those fucking Yankees who ordered them to torture. Kill their daughters, mothers, daughters-in-laws, and fathers. Kill them all slowly and painfully.
I can't disagree with a word of that song.
Nor can I. They had it coming. If you're going to be like that horrible towards people, expect it to come back to
you. And he didn't say all Americans. He said specifically the ones who were doing this terrible shit.
Uh-huh, but what about their daughters, their mothers, their daughter-in-laws, and their fathers?
You can assume that they're American. They're probably fucked up if they're related. Aw, that's so mean.
The thoughts and views of Educated are not representative of Death Store Process Company.
The thoughts and views of Bobiwan are representative of this company. Well, I agree with Ninja Kitty.
If someone, if, like, it's not like it's not this every case, but if you think about
and
it,
views
by
are nobody's views.
If you think about it from a biological point of view, like DNA wise, the mother has exactly half of the DNA of their child, right? Meaning that the likelihood of the child being similar to the parent is very, very high. Not to mention, the behavior, the personality is highly inspired and produced by the parent because the parent raises the kid and the kid develops morals and personality because of the experiences made by the parent. So
but
it's not
parent,
completely unreasonable.
But what if the child is just a baby? If the parent's already dead, then what's the point of killing the child? Because the child wouldn't
why would they have a mother or a sister or anything like that in that case?
Why would the person being killed have a mother or a sister?
Like you said, like I'm talking about that's why like it's not completely unreasonable for that to be said. Like kill like their family
members.
Yeah,
it's not completely reasonable for killing everybody.
Similar.
Yeah, as killing moving on from something that this. Moving on from this.
I'm getting too scientific. I'm sorry. I can't help it sometimes.
No, you're not getting too scientific. You're getting too morally ambiguous.
I am a troll, so I can't help it.
Ninja Kitty doesn't have morals.
Uh-oh, we have a clone.
What?
We have a clone. There's two Deliders now.
Oh, good God. We're gonna
die.
Dead
man. Do something about it. Dead man!
I'm not in charge
Dead
of the chat!
Man.
Oh.
Okay, Pat, off the lap. Go on. Jump.
Okay, so, moving on. The remake of Jumanji now has a writer.
What's Jumanji?
Jumanji was a movie that came out back in like the 90s where it was about a magical board game.
Okay.
And it was a cool movie back then.
Yeah. But now they're remaking it. For some ungodly reason.
Dead
yeah.
Man! Help me, please.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, the remake is going to be written by Zach Helm, who's the guy who wrote Stranger Than Fiction, which is that Will Ferrell movie where he's actually a character in a novel.
Which was kind of a cool movie.
Yeah, Helm also wrote and directed Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, which I have no idea what the fuck that is. And he's currently working on a comedy about cryogenics called Freezing People is Easy. So, yeah.
Jumanji.
So yeah, moving on to next piece of news. So the BioShock Infinite cover art was released recently. It's not very good.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a guy with a gun and an American flag on fire.
Okay, yeah, that's not very good.
Doesn't have a thing to do with fucking BioShock. Yeah, so anyway, Ken Levine in a recent interview said that the BioShock cover art is not really made for fans. Yeah, the art was made specific. The cover art was chosen specifically to appeal to a wider audience. The game will still be the exact same. Like, the game will be classic BioShock stuff, but the cover art needed to, I guess, go for a broader palette. Go for a more bigger demographic. Yeah, so anyway, he said in the interview, quote, "There are plenty of products that I buy that I don't spend..." Actually, I guess some context for this. In the interview that he had with Wired, he said that since most video game, like most people who actually play games, most of those people like really like shooters, and those people rarely read about games or just buy games that aren't like just Call of Duty. He's talking about those people. And so he starts making comparisons to, like, salad dressing. So, he said about the salad dressing. There are plenty of products that I buy that I don't spend a lot of time thinking about. My salad dressing. If there's a new salad dressing coming out, I would have no idea. I use salad dressing. I don't read Salad Dressing Weekly. I don't care who makes it. I don't know anything. I don't know any of the personalities in the salad dressing business. And that's actually okay. a very apt comparison. Because there are a lot of people out there who just like play Call of Duty and nothing else. They have no idea who the fuck makes any of these things. They don't know what's going on with any of it. They just are like, I'm a shoot things.
Shooting things is fun.
So that's why this cover art was. That's why this cover art was chosen. So that it just looks like a game where you shoot things. So this way, it'll probably get a wider audience, and because of that, they'll be able to like I guess fund their next game from it. I guess. Like, that's kind of what I've been seeing as the hope for this. Just have really generic cover art so that more people will buy the game, and that way they'll be able to use the money and fund their next game, which will still be, like, everything will be like Bioshock. Well, not everything be like Bioshock. They'll have artistic integrity. Or something, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, and I like the style of Bioshock, honestly. It's not a generic shooter at all. Mm-hmm. I didn't like Bioshock 2 that much. There just wasn't that much new gameplay.
That's because Bioshock 2 was made by a completely different company who totally missed the idea of the first one.
Yeah.
You gotta admit, though, like, the gameplay, like, the way it's set up and the interactions and, like, the menus, I like that. It's really good. And, like, the way things are animated.
The only thing I liked about Bioshock 2, to a huge extent, was the harpoon gun.
Yes! Pinning people against the fucking wall.
By their heads.
Yeah. God damn.
Yeah, so continuing on, Levine did another interview where he said that, you know, if you don't really like the cover, we're gonna be making other ones you could just download. Yeah.
So you could like print it off and put it on your game case, and now you have a better cover.
Yeah, like Irrational Games is compiling fan art and internal studio art from the website, and if people see something they like in there, they can just print it off and make that their cover instead of the other one. And so Levine said, the cover you pick up off the shelf may not be your favorite cover in the universe, but hopefully that cover will help make this game successful so we can keep making more of them and not compromise in any way. Which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so moving on to our next piece of news. So it was recently announced that perspective-wise, it was announced at some point that G4 was canceling Attack of the Show and X-Play, which is like G4's main fucking gaming shows.
Right. I don't know what any of that is.
Yeah, and so G4 has also been on some hard times. But they've been recently acquired by NBC Universal. And they've been rebranded as the Esquire Channel, which is to tap into the metrosexual viewership.
Uh-huh.
The Squire... Yep. Wait, what does that mean? Like, at first when you said the Squire or whatever the heck it was,
Esquire.
I thought that sounded... Yeah, the Esquire. I don't mean any offense by this, because I don't have any problems against these people. I thought it sounded really gay, that title.
Yeah, Esquire. It's supposed to tap into the metrosexual community.
What's metrosexual?
It's essentially not gay guys who are straight.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's essentially like the people who are really into food and really into like interior decorating and everything that's like stereotypically gay, but they still like women.
Do they exist?
Yes, they do. I knew someone like that once. Like, he seemed so gay. Like, he even uncontrollably had the lisp.
Yeah.
Well, not actually the lisp. He just had a really high, very girly, very feminine voice. He didn't actually lisp.
I want to say this out there. We aren't against gay people in any way, shape, or form. It's just the stereotypical view of the gay people is very much metrosexual.
Like,
only
the lisp.
Like, guys.
Like, guy, he didn't lisp. He had a very effeminate voice, and, like, if he attacked you, he girly slapped. But he wasn't gay.
So anyway, they wanted to, like, they wanted to get this so that they could actually go for, start aiming their program at different male demographics that have just been kind of shunned by places like History and Spike. And so they'll have a bunch of new programming, mainly focusing on cooking, travel, and fashion.
They should add, a cosplay show. That would, be a huge hit.
But anyway, yeah, so a lot of their programming is already in production. And it should, be start launching, in, the first half of 2013.